Welcome to the Elijah Rising podcast. Elijah Rising is an organization empowering women recovering from sexual exploitation. This episode is going to help you become more aware about the issue of sex trafficking and inspire you to take action.
Hey, welcome back to the Elijah Rising podcast. If you haven't already, like and subscribe so more people can access this important content. Today we have with us Lindsay Levin.
Hello.
Lindsay is our volunteer coordinator here at Elijah Rising. And we're going to be talking about an important topic, one that we get a lot of questions about, which is all about intervention. So what is intervention and how do we do it? Lindsay, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Lindsay Levin. I've been working at Elijah Rising for about a year now. I was really moved to get involved in the movement after I went on a van tour myself. I was with a different ministry at the time, and we were able to go on a van tour, and the Lord just absolutely moved in my heart and said, this is something you need to be a part of, and with this organization, they're people you need to be with. And so I moved from California to Texas.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. to be a part of Elijah Rising, and it has just been amazing, and it's great because I have a heart for outreach and evangelism, and so I love doing our interventions. It's my favorite part of my job here, and honestly, my favorite part of moving here has been interventions.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That is saying something. So, intervention intimidates a lot of people.
Right.
And understandably so. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around it.
Absolutely.
So, I hope that today we can clarify some of those, right?
Absolutely.
And hopefully you'll join us for intervention, all you listeners out there. So let's just start with a definition. Can you just describe what is an intervention like typically look like? What does that even mean?
Right. So our interventions, what they are is really direct outreach to the people who are being exploited, who are in places where exploitation is happening. So it really is just direct outreach to those places, bringing the love of Jesus to those places, bringing resources to those places. And really the main heart of intervention is to build genuine connection and relationship with the people who are in those places. So we have interventions at a bunch of different locations. So we have illicit massage business interventions. We have strip club interventions, street outreach interventions, really just any place where exploitation is happening, where there is commercial sex being sold. Our intervention teams go there to show the love of Jesus in those places. And each intervention looks really different based on if you're doing an illicit massage business intervention or a street outreach intervention, it'll look very different because the cultures are very different. And so our teams are super specialized in the area that they're doing the outreach so that they know how to serve those people best.
So let's talk about practicals.
Right.
I mean, can anybody come on these interventions, outreaches? Like, how do you, how does somebody get prepared for it? How do they, what do they do? And what does it look like when they come here?
Right. And so the most important thing about joining an intervention team is that you are willing to share the love of Jesus with people. We know that that is what will set people free, is the love of Jesus, the gospel, the freedom found in the gospel. And so all of our intervention tier volunteers have a passion for sharing the gospel with people who are being exploited, with people who are in bondage. And so that is the main tool that we use in intervention, is the power of the gospel. And so really from that place, everything else is very easy because it's just building relationship. And so if someone's interested in doing intervention, we ask that they first learn about all the different places that we do our outreaches at, because like I was saying, they're so different, right? You might be very called to illicit massage business intervention and be absolutely freaked out by strip club intervention because they're so different. So I really encourage everyone to pray about and learn about the different locations, what's happening there, so that from that place they can say, okay, I think maybe this is what I want to learn more about. Because something else that we see is that the stories of the women who are in those places are so different, and they're really usually very specialized to how they got to that location. Yeah. So when we're doing outreaches and illicit massage businesses, we know a lot of the women are from different countries who have been brought here. Mm-hmm. And so that is something unique to that type of intervention. And we want to honor that and respect that. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we do our due diligence and learn about that so that we can care for them better. And so really learning about it is the first place to start. And then from there, joining us in a place of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. We know that things can't move in the natural until they move in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so I always say, if you feel at all called to doing outreach, start in the prayer room, join us for our prayer meetings. Pray on your own mm-hmm. about this issue, because not only in that place are you doing the most powerful thing that we have, which is calling on the will of God, which is to set the oppressed free, joining him in that cry. But that's also when the Lord begins to speak to us about what is your role in this. Mm. And so I think that that is the most important thing we can do. And then from there, of course, we have practical trainings, right? Like, can't just say, okay, you feel called, have fun. Like, that doesn't, that's not super helpful. Yeah. And it's very scary. And so we do a lot of equipping on, like, this is what you can expect in these places. Mm-hmm. This is how to have conversation. And so it's really important to just kind of get all that out in the open so that you're not as shocked when you walk in, right? Like, if I know what to look for in a strip club, the first time I walk in, I'm not going to be surprised when I see the craziness of a strip club. Yeah. And so talking about those things as well during training.
So it sounds like you do like a spiritual preparation, some practical preparation, you know, and then logistical.
Logistical. That's great. Absolutely.
So are there any, is there anyone who is disqualified from doing outreach? Anyone who can't come out with you guys?
No, we want everyone to be involved in intervention. But with that being said, there's different types of ways to get involved, right? And so because of the nature of the places that we're going, we know that, you know, people who have certain struggles, it might not be wisdom for them to go to certain outreaches. In no means is that disqualification, but it's saying, not out of a place of judgment, but actually out of a place of love, let's pray through this issue that you're having first. Let's start in the prayer room so that you can experience freedom and then be equipped to do what the Lord asks you to do. But I would say those people are still very much involved in intervention. Staying on the prayer team, really joining us in that place, it's so powerful. And so no one's disqualified from intervention, but there are different places that you might stay, right? Not everyone is called to direct outreach. And that's not because it's harder or more important, but just because of different seasons, calls on the Lord. You know, our interventions take place at night. They start anywhere from 8 to 10 p.m. and go anywhere from midnight to 4 a.m. And so certain seasons of life are not the most practical for intervention. That doesn't mean you're disqualified or anything. I think the Lord honors those seasons and saying right now your place is the prayer room, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So good. So quick question. How you talked about sharing the love of Jesus, right? The gospel. How do you do that without, you know, how do you do that in a respectful way, in like a context appropriate way? Because you're not out there just like, oh, let me open Romans.
Turn or burn.
Like, oh gosh. That is not what we're talking
about. We don't believe in that. We believe in the love of God.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit with our listeners? Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah. So we look at the life of Jesus and we see that he met people where they were at. And he was so gentle and he was so kind. And it was his lowliness, his preference of others, that brought people to him and to his heart to then believe in him. And so we really believe in showing that practically. How can we meet your needs in a way that points to Jesus, right? And I think that's something really important to know, is that as people who call ourselves Christian, as people who claim Jesus, the love that we show directly is equivalent to the love that people think they'll receive from God. Yeah. And so we have to take that really seriously and say, my God's not a God of judgment or disqualification. He is one who goes the extra step, who goes the extra mile. And so in our interventions, we care so much about, how do I love you in this life, to love you out of this life, and to love you through that process. And so really, it's about saying, the situation you're in, you were manipulated into this life. I'm not going to manipulate you out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet you in this place and really create a friendship with you of saying, hey, this isn't your identity. Mm-hmm. You were made for so much more than this, mm-hmm. but also being sensitive of no one wakes up one day and says, I'm going to be trafficked today. Right. Like that's not how they end up there. So I have to mm-hmm. be sensitive to what events have happened in their life that has led them to believing that this is their only choice or yeah. that this is the situation they're in. And so really that comes from a place of genuine relationship and having those conversations. And that's actually how we see a lot of fruit. So mm-hmm. many women that we serve say, you guys are different than other people mm-hmm. that have come out here mm-hmm. and told us they were from the church. And that's not to say we're better by any means, but I think it's because the Lord has really entrusted us mm-hmm. to show his gentle heart, his yeah. heart that sticks with people through their stuff. Mm.
So you're telling our listeners, right, that you can go into a location mm-hmm. that has women who are currently being trafficked yeah. and you can hold a conversation with them. Crazy. How's that possible?
Yeah. So I think that one of the biggest ways that that is possible is that we cover these places in prayer before mm-hmm. we step foot into any place where exploitation or trafficking is happening. Mm-hmm. We don't barge right in. We spend months covering it in prayer before mm-hmm. we first try to enter it. We pray for open hearts, for open doors mm-hmm. that we would be received into those places. And then from that place, we're continuing to pray for those places before we go. But also, I think that coming in with a mentality of, I'm not a savior. I'm not a rescuer. I just want to love you. I want to show you that when you're ready, there's different options for you. That actually goes a long way, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that that is why we're allowed into those places, is because it is genuinely, I've heard from so many of the women we serve, they look forward to when we come because they know they're going to get a type of love that they don't typically receive. Sure. We're going to offer prayer and non-judgmental prayer. And we've even been blessed enough to be able to have real conversations with managers of strip clubs, owners of strip clubs. And from that place of, we love you too, and we know this isn't your identity, we're really received into these places mm-hmm. because the light of Jesus shines even brighter in darkness. Inwardly, we're all craving Jesus. And so mm. when you're in a dark place and there's a hint of light, people are going to be attracted to it. And so I think that one of the misconceptions is that we go in saying, all right, we're here. It's going to end now. Like, yeah. you can come on out. That's not what it is. It's saying, the place that you're in, how can I bring what I have, which is the love of God, into this place and meet you? And it's just received well because everyone wants Jesus mm. inwardly.
Truly, yeah. Yeah. I love that. So how do we identify just right. places? Because it sounds like these, you're talking about strip clubs, mm-hmm. talking about IMBs, and a few others like on the street, right? Those are public locations yeah. that you or I could just walk into. Buyers obviously can walk into. So how do we go about just identifying the locations that are appropriate, or yeah. I'm not going to say the word safe because we'll actually talk about that in a minute. but appropriate for volunteers at a certain level of training to go
right,
into.
Right. So the first thing that we do is, if we have a suspicion that a place is selling commercial sex, this is for illicit massage businesses, strip clubs.
Sure.
They're strip clubs.
Trafficking is happening.
Yeah. We can go into
another podcast.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But for businesses that are selling commercial sex, when we believe that we have identified one, whether just by us driving or mm-hmm. someone tells us, have you seen this place?
Yeah.
We start by looking online, looking at the Google reviews. How are these being left by mainly men who are leaving some comments that don't make quite that much sense when you don't know what to look for? That's the first place that we would check it out. From there, we'll go to different sites to verify this further. Is this selling commercial sex? Mm-hmm. And then from there, we really do try to make an in-person visit to these places for a couple reasons. The first is, we would never want to accuse someone of doing something that they're not doing. So we want to verify that. But also, we want to start building a relationship from that point. So makes a big difference when we go into an illicit massage business, into a strip club, and say, hey, I have a group of friends that just really want to come empower these ladies by bringing them a small gift and praying for them. Would it be okay if I came back next Friday with my friends? And we did that. Asking permission in those places. And while we're in there doing that initial introduction, you might say, we're also looking for the signs to verify that this is a place that is selling commercial sex. So those are some of the ways. If it's a place like a strip club where I'm like, okay, I know what happens in a strip club, I'll typically call the business about a week before and just explain again what we want to do and would that be possible. And we offer to work with what they're willing to let us do. There's a story of one of our intervention teams wanted to go into this strip club, and the owner said, I'll let you in if you bring me a pie. So they brought him a pie. And then they were let in. And so
perfect.
You know, agreeing to things like that, like in the grand scheme of things, not a big deal to bring you a pie so that we can talk to some women. Exactly. Or they're like, yeah, you can come in, but we have to search every gift that you give. Search them and then we'll go. So really treating these places with dignity and respect, even though it's hard sometimes, just saying, hey, if my end goal is really to show the love of Jesus in this place and make relationship, I need to be willing to kind of do these things to allow me to get there.
So we kind of touched on this earlier, but one question that we get a lot, for good reason, totally understandable, is like, when people hear the word trafficking, it automatically brings up like cartel and guns and kidnapping and all these really terrible, scary things, right? So how safe is it to like send relatively newly trained volunteers into these places?
That's a great question. And it's actually, we've never had an incident. Have never had an incident where any of our volunteers have been hurt or put into a dangerous, scary situation. We are going to places where crime is rampant, where these things are happening. But the protection of God has always been there. And of course, there's practical steps that we take. Our volunteers are trained in how to walk into a place and say, maybe we shouldn't be here right now. There's wisdom in that. Situational awareness. Also, just those prayers beforehand. Have we covered the place in prayer before we go, prayed over protection for our volunteers? But then also, when you come in as not a savior, not saying I'm trying to end everything going on here, but saying I just want to love you, there's a trust and a safety that is built in those places. So I would say actually this really amazing things happens where our volunteers, especially on the street where there is so much crime, our table is considered the safe space out there. That's where people go, the girls go when they feel like they're in a dangerous situation. They run to our table because they know it's the safe place. Even the pimps or the buyers out there know that that table is a peaceful table. Things don't happen like that here. And part of that, I think, is the presence of God is there. We've asked for the presence of God to come, and he loves the people out on the street. He loves the people in the strip club, in the IMB. So he's eager to show himself in that way. And so we've never had a situation. I think that it's so scary, and it kind of takes a step back to be like, okay, so I'm going to this place, and it does seem scary at first, but the more you go out there, the more that you realize people are people who need Jesus, who need hugs, who just need friends. And it kind of goes from these labels of woman being prostituted, pimp, buyer, to just people who need Jesus. And you would be surprised at what a mom hug or a dad hug can do. So some of our volunteers are just these wonderful, you know, grandmas, grandpas who are out there who have broken down just hard pimps by a simple hug and just saying, God loves you. They go from so angry to just weeping in their arms. And so I think we've never had a situation because of those things of, we're not trying to come out here to add to the chaos. We're trying to bring peace to the chaos.
I love that. So that gets me to my last kind of question before we move into what I'm really excited about, which are testimonies, stories, which would be like, you mentioned pimps, you mentioned buyers. So can you elaborate for our listeners, like when you go out, you're not just encountering women, right? You go into bars and clubs right. and stuff, and they have a mixture of these different yeah. populations. What does that look like when you run into like a buyer?
Right. I think that it can be very jarring at first. In full transparency, that was the hardest thing for me mm-hmm. when I started getting involved with intervention was I knew I was excited to get mm-hmm. to build relationship with the women out there. But then for the first time, I'm walking up to pimps or buyers and I am like, I don't know what to do. Like, yeah. I don't know what to do here. But I think that the reality comes of you get to learn their stories as well. We have amazing volunteers who will sit down with the buyers, mm-hmm. who with the traffickers and say, hey, how did you get to this place? And then you're realizing that they were broken kids who came from broken situations yeah. Yeah. who ended up in this place. That doesn't excuse it, but it allows us to see the brokenness of the world takes effect in all these different ways. Yeah. And now we're left with this situation, which really comes down to people who need love, freedom, yeah. radical encounters with the Lord. And so I think that remembering that of saying mm-hmm. when we were enemies of God, he came to us.
Yeah.
And so I have to look at someone who I'm like, you are an enemy of God, and saying, so he's coming for you. Mm. And I get to like help steward that. Yeah. And also I think you'd be surprised the openness mm. that they walk in sometimes. I think no one wakes up one day and for the first time says, I'm going to buy sex today yeah. or I'm going to be a trafficker. Mm-hmm. It's you get to realize that they have also had parts of their identity robbed from them because of the fallen state of the world. And they're inwardly searching mm-hmm. for freedom and for Jesus too. And so it can be very difficult. But when you begin to operate and ask the Lord for his heart for people, the fruit that comes from that is just, it's so powerful. It's so impactful. And then also looking at the practicals of when we have like a buyer who repents, comes to the Lord, that note
yeah.
ends some of the,
yeah.
the need, the demand yeah. for commercial sex. That's such a win.
Yeah.
Not only in the kingdom, but in the fight yeah. against trafficking. Same thing when a trafficker repents, comes yeah. to the Lord. Now we have someone who is pushing this issue of trafficking that has now come yeah. to the Lord. That's not a problem anymore. And mm-hmm. so realizing that the heart of the Lord is for them, but then also what would happen if we loved these people yeah. to repentance in the way that Christ's kindness leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm. If we showed that, what would happen?
Yeah. Amen. Well, yeah. we will take a short break and do stay tuned because we're going to get into some awesome stories and testimonies. Thank you, Lindsay. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Elijah Rising podcast. If this episode has impacted you in any way, let us know. Go on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or go to our website and send us a message. Let us know how these episodes have impacted you. And we provide this podcast and our services of doing outreach into the community and bringing awareness to human trafficking and 24/7 housing. We provide all of this free of charge. And we're only able to do that because people make donations and people support and get behind this work. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can go to ElijahRising.org/donate. And giving $10 or $20 a month goes a really long way. And I would encourage you to take that step and join us in the work to end sex trafficking.
Okay, we are back with Lindsay talking about intervention. And I would love to hear some of your stories, right? So
yes.
I know we have so many testimonies, we won't be able to cover them all. But can you share a couple testimonies, maybe one from the street that, yeah. that you've seen?
This is my favorite thing to talk about.
Okay.
I love talking about testimonies from intervention.
We're going to be here for a while, folks. So get comfy,
buckle up.
Grab a snack.
So one of my favorite testimonies mm-hmm. from intervention. I think it's my favorite because it just goes to show how the power of God does much more than mm-hmm. any human works, though human works he uses us mm-hmm. to show his love. But we were out on the street one night, and to be fair, this testimony does not happen all the time. This is like a once I have experienced this type
sure.
of testimony happened once. But we were out on the street and where we are every week. And this woman comes up to me who I had never met before. And I'm out there every week, so I know most of the girls out there. But this was a new woman. And I just began talking to her. And she knew from the other girls out there that mm-hmm. they call us the church group
yep.
out there. So they knew that we were the church group and that they could ask us questions about okay. Jesus or ask us for prayer. And so her and I were sitting down and we were talking, and she said, "Can I ask you a question about Jesus and the Bible?" I got so excited. I was like,
"Of course.
Of course. Of course." And she goes, "It's about the book of Revelation."
I was no like, pressure.
Oh, great. Because I totally understand the book of Revelation. Sure. And she said, "So I think that your Jesus, the Jesus you all talk about, I think he came to me and he told me that he's coming back soon. Wow. And he doesn't want to find me like how I am now.
Whoa.
Do you think that's true?" And yes, wow. I do think that Jesus is coming back and he doesn't want to find you like this. And she had this revelation from this encounter of Jesus while she is out living this life of the street, which is crazy. And we don't necessarily equate it with the Lord speaks to people in that life. But she had a real genuine encounter with the Lord that had happened previously. And she had just been thinking about it, saying, could this be true? And so she came and we just started talking about how the reason that Jesus wants us to repent and come to know him is because he is coming back and he wants to find a pure and spotless bride, and which is not a conversation I ever thought I would have out on the street, but we were having it and she was just so moved, and we even began to talk about her life and what led her there, and we were able to talk about the dynamics of trafficking and the manipulation, and she was, even without my prompting, beginning to point out different areas that she felt she was being manipulated in and lies. And she was calling him out and saying, "I don't think that's what God wants for me." Wow. And it was this really pure conversation of her beginning to understand, like, I think God has more for me. And I haven't seen her out there since.
Wow.
And so I was so moved by that. And I was just like, wow, God, you really do do it all.
I really couldn't.
I really just sat here.
You're really working. That's so encouraging.
It was, I like walked away and I was like, I feel like, did I get that right? Like, is that what just happened out there? But it was just so powerful.
Fun. That's wild.
It was great.
Wow. So what about like in the brothels?
Yeah. So our brothel intervention is actually so interesting. It's so different than our other interventions, because I always say, you know, when we're out on the street, we get out there about 10 p.m. and we're there till at least 2 a.m., if not longer. So that's plenty of time to build relationship, have deep conversation with women. Same thing in the strip clubs. In our strip club intervention, we get to go in the dressing rooms and talk with the ladies as they're getting ready. So it's not uncommon to have a 45 to an hour long conversation with women in the strip club. But our brothel interventions are so unique because of the way that they operate, because of the language and culture barrier.
Because it's mostly Asian women.
It's mostly Asian women who don't typically speak a lot of English, and we don't usually have a lot of volunteers that speak a lot of Mandarin. And so
if you speak Mandarin, little plug.
But so there's that. There's also the cultural barrier that we're just now kind of beginning to work to understand. And so there's all these different reasons, but that intervention is typically the shortest. And, you know, an illicit massage business, we might get 5 minutes during our intervention. Yeah, so not a lot of time to like build these connections. But one of our volunteers who has just been so diligent to say, "I'm showing up, I'm going to keep coming, keep like chip by chip, we're going to get there, we're going to build a friendship." Wow. She actually had a woman disclose to her after a very long time of building friendship and relationship with her. The woman ran out to the car and said, "I have a prayer request," which was super uncommon for this particular woman. We didn't always get to pray with her and have kind of deep conversation. And she said, I want to apply to get my visa in the United States, because she was from a different country, was not able to work legally, so she was wanting to apply to get her visa to open up opportunities for her. And the volunteer was just so excited and was able to pray for her. And the volunteer just felt so moved by this that she actually went and got like a little gift and a card to encourage her. And she brought it and we all just signed it and just said, "We're praying for you. We're encouraging you during this process of getting your visa." And she went on her own time and just dropped off this card. And it meant so much to the woman. She was so moved by it. She felt so seen, so loved, that she actually reached back out and said, "I got my visa." And it was just like this massive breakthrough in relationship. And it doesn't necessarily seem big when mm-hmm. in terms of what we kind of think success right. is in our interventions. But what we have to understand is that these women oftentimes are living in these brothels. Yeah. They don't leave. They're only really having community or, you know, experiencing with the other women in yeah. the brothels, or only having communication with the people who are buying them. It's yeah. very lonely, and they're typically very isolated. They don't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. And so for her to feel so safe to be able to say this really important thing and to give us updates on it, that's massive. And it just kind of built a step in their relationship yeah. between the volunteer and the woman, and they have greater friendship. They're able to have deeper conversations. And so our illicit massage businesses, they're just successes defined so differently,
yeah,
but you just see God move so much mm-hmm. in the little ways mm-hmm. of how they say they were looking forward to us coming yeah. or, hey, I think you prayed for me in this area, and then something happened that I hadn't experienced
yeah.
before.
That's yeah. so beautiful.
Yeah.
So can you give us another one, maybe from, I don't know, strip clubs or hotels?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So another one of my favorite stories from strip clubs is there's this one strip club that our team has been going to for years, just building relationship with the women in there. And there was one woman in particular who for years they had just been building friendship, building relationship with. And at one point in time, this woman had shared that her son had been diagnosed with leukemia. Mm. And so our volunteers prayed with her on the spot, praying for her son, and then really took it on to continue to intercede for her and for her son. And this just continued to go on for months. Every time wow. they went back, they would ask, like, wow. how's your son? How can we be mm-hmm. praying for you? And one day we went to the strip club, and we were in the lobby, so we hadn't even really entered the strip club. And this woman runs out, and she says, I want to thank you because my son's in remission, and I know it was your prayers mm. that did it. And that one just touched me because I was yeah. like, it not only showed that she felt so seen by our volunteers that yeah. she trusted them to have continued to be praying yeah. for her son, but also she knew it was the power of God that Absolutely. Healed her son. And so I just love that story because it's like, wow, she saw both. She yeah. saw action from our volunteers followed through by a healing from the Lord, which is just...
That's just a testimony.
It's just
of Jesus,
a testimony.
Like, Lord. There's another story that I remember from... Actually, from strip clubs, it's similar where one of our employees, I guess she was mm-hmm. a volunteer at the time, mm-hmm. and she was going into the strip club, same thing, maybe a couple of times. I think she prayed for this one woman because her leg had been injured. Yeah. I can't remember if it was like broken and then it was sort of yeah. healing or something. I can't remember. But it was injured and it was significantly mm-hmm. affecting her life. So they prayed for her. You know, I don't even know if anything happened in the yeah. moment or she even realized. The next time, so a month later when they went back into that same strip club, this girl comes running over wow. and was like, her name was Melody. She's like, Melody, like you prayed for me. You prayed for my leg and I've been totally healed. Wow. I'm like running again, like walking like normal. And so, I mean, it's like prayer and outreach.
Yes.
Like you need you the need intermingling.
You could the yeah. combination. This is another story, but we were out on the street one time and a woman had come up to us and had expressed a desire to exit the life. She was mm-hmm. ready to begin a new life. And so we pulled her into one of our cars and we began, you know, enacting the practicals of yeah. what that looks like. So we began calling resources and everything. And in just a really strange situation, the resources just didn't work out. They were yeah. they fell through that night. It was a strange one-off situation. Mm-hmm. And so our team began to pray because the woman got so discouraged when yeah. these resources weren't coming through that she had walked away from mm-hmm. us. And in the course of our conversation with her that had led up to this, she told us that what she really wanted was to just go back to her family. Ever yeah. since she had began being trafficked, she didn't have much of a relationship with her mom or her family. And so she was just like, I want to go home. I want to just do something different. And so after she had walked away, our team just began to pray saying, God, we need your help. Like we're at our
yeah.
end.
We Please help.
You need to show up.
Yeah.
Like, we're yeah. out of options here. Yeah. So you come through. Mm. And so we just began to pray. And our team, we drove around and we found this woman and she looked like a new person. She was smiling.
Wow.
She was so excited. And we said, what happened? Because the last time we saw her, she was crying, distraught, mad at us.
Which was like a few minutes before.
A few minutes before. And she said, out of nowhere, my mom called me and told me it was time to come home.
Oh my God.
Which is like this beautiful
thing. Thank you, God.
Okay, that was all God. Yeah. He showed up in a way that we couldn't have. Wow. But like, this beautiful thing of action combined yes. with prayer
yeah.
and God just moves.
Yeah. And that's something that we haven't touched on yet is that we not only want to share the love of Christ,
mm-hmm.
but we also want to give tangibles.
Absolutely.
Right? Practical Absolutely. Ways for people to exit mm-hmm. so they're not trapped in that lifestyle.
Yeah. And not only just practically exit, but how can I meet needs while you're yeah. in this life? Mm-hmm. You know, because not only is that building relationship, but just as a human, I know that you have some needs. You don't have food right now. You yeah. don't have water. Yeah. You don't have, you know, hygiene products, yeah. feminine products. How can I be that practical tool to Good. Help you in this moment? And so it's definitely both. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to go out there and provide prayer and relationship, but we're also like, okay, you need something.
Yeah.
Let's work on that. Let's yeah. do that. And so we have wonderful volunteers who I've seen just take that and run with it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, well, this girl said she wanted this exact water bottle. So Aww. I went and bought that exact water bottle. Yeah. And it was like, meeting those practical needs moves people's hearts because mm-hmm. they're not living a life where their needs
no, practically
get met.
Or anyone
you know?
Cares about
or
their
anyone
needs.
Cares. Yeah. And we even have testimonies of our volunteers in strip clubs who one of the girls, we were handing out little gift bags mm-hmm. with just different things in it. And one of the girls said, oh, I want the pink one. And so our volunteer took a bag with the pink stuff in it and saw that there was something of a different color. Mm-hmm. So she switched it out to put a pink item in there. And the girl just started crying
wow.
and said,
gosh,
what happened? And she said, no one's ever done anything like that Aww. For me. And the volunteer said, well, why do you like pink so much? And the girl just started crying, saying, no one's ever asked me a question like
oh my
that.
Gosh.
And it was just like this practical Aww. Thing of like, you said you like pink, so I gave
yeah,
you pink.
Of
like
course.
We don't think anything yeah. of it, but the life that they're in, the way they're being treated, this is foreign. This
yeah.
is a all these simple things that we think of
Care.
Like, oh yeah, you need yeah. water, get water. That's not their reality.
Yeah.
And so when we can come in and be practically providing those things, not only are we just helping them in their day to day of they're working 14 hour shifts,
yeah.
they're hungry, they're tired,
yeah.
but we're also showing them like, hey,
we see you.
We see you.
Yeah.
You're loved. We care about you. I yeah. care that you want this.
Mm, yeah. That's so beautiful. So simple. So easy.
So simple. It goes as simple as like, hey, what snacks do you want us
yeah.
to bring next time? And they're like, wait, what snacks do I want?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, what snacks do you want?
Because they really don't get asked that question. Women who are being trafficked, the only thing that matters
mm-hmm.
is the buyer's will
right
and their trafficker's will
right
is imposed upon them
right.
So what an incredible
we
testimony.
Are typically in a woman who's being trafficked in her life, we are the only person that comes to her that doesn't expect anything or want anything from her and so it's powerful when you just
yeah.
to get to go and give and
yeah.
say no, like, you tell me what you want and I'm gonna see if I can make that happen.
Gosh.
it's powerful.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Lindsay, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I know you have 15,000 more testimonies that you that we can't get to
yes.
today. Is there anything before we sign off that you want the listeners to hear that we haven't talked about or touched on?
Yeah, I would say that one thing that I think is just so important for people to like really hear about our interventions is that you can do it. If the Lord is calling you to it, yeah. you can do it. There is a grace for it. I had no idea what I was doing. I moved here 22 years old. God says, go. And I'm like, well, okay. And he just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means do I know what I'm doing all the time, but I've
mm-hmm.
seen his grace sustain me in that place. And so you can do it if the Lord is calling you to it. And then also, I think just the most important thing would be if you don't feel called to intervention, direct outreach, that's
mm-hmm.
okay. That place of prayer is just as,
yeah.
if not more important.
Yeah.
And so you're not disqualified because you can't 100%. Stay out till 4 a.m. You have a role in this. You have a part in this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful.
Yeah. Amen. Thank
yeah.
you, Lindsay, for being
yeah,
with us
thanks.
Today. You guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, listen to our other podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode. If you were inspired by this content today, please share, rate, and leave a review. Also, please consider making a donation at elijahrising.org/donate. Your support helps us continue the vital mission to combat sex trafficking. Until next time.